Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier. If anything goes wrong, it's all my fault because I am producing with my, with my terrific Schreiducer, Tom Schreier, at my side here to tell me when I'm screw up, which is going to be probably quite often. Anyway, want to say thank you to Tom. ColdOmaha.com, by the way. If you had the skin's looking good. Whoops. I guess we need to put you on, though, don't we? Yeah. The skin's looking good.
Skin's looking good.
They have a new skin, and I had to ask, what the heck does that mean?
It's green instead of red, basically.
Oh, and also, I hear you're not just calling it zone coverage MN now, too, right?
Yeah. So zone coverage is going to be more kind of like highlights and aggregated news and the quick stuff, and Cold Omaha would be more long-form features, stuff like that.
And is Mike Gelfand's latest
Gelfand. Mike Gelfand. It was basically kind of what he talked about Monday, but a lot about the tournament. Talked about the Gophers, was not very flattering about the Gopher team, which Sam, I think, is going to have a rebuttal here soon. But
nobody rebuts Mike Gelfand.
It was so well written. It's a lot of sex jokes, but it's very well written.
That's our Mike. I want to say thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network, for inviting us to be part of the network. And thank you to our sponsors. They include Brad Sean Bryant, Always Seeking Justice for the Injured, at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, SmartStartMN.com. If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, go to that website. They'll get you back on the road seamlessly again. SmartStartMN.com. Chanticleer Pizza, a week from Friday, will be broadcasting from there at their Coon Rapids location. That would also be St. Patrick's Day. Can you make it, Tom? Do you know?
I don't think so, actually, unfortunately.
Here, I've the second time.
I know. Chanticleer doesn't want me in their building, which I don't
blame them. The rest of you are all welcome, by the way. We'll do it at right around this time, 11. Solidarity Health Share, the Relax the Back store in Burnsville, will be there Tuesday. And they're offering next week. You go and mention the BS Show. All next week, they're offering 20% off if you mention the show. Thomas Brand Homes, Dan Garrell from the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team. If you're in need of a mortgage or refinancing or know someone who is, give Dan a call, 952-841-9346. 952-841-9346. And My Pillow. You go there, use the promo code TheBS Show. Oh, you get a great deal. 4-pack, 2 premium pillows, 2 go-anywhere pillows, all for 40% off, and we'll send you a T-shirt. We are joined today, Tom Schreier, as I mentioned, from ColdOmaha.com. Also, Jeff O'Brien. I know that's the other that station that does it, but I can't get out of my mind. Lawyer extraordinaire.
Yeah, I'm going to trademark that, I think.
I think you should. Business and leisure attorney just doesn't do it. It's lawyer extraordinaire. I can't even see Kevin Cusick, TwinCities.com, Pioneer Press, at the loop now. And always funny man, Brian Miller.
Hello.
BrianMillerComedy.com and at Real Brian Miller on Twitter. Now, I want to ask all of you guys. I'm going to come over here so I can see some of you.
I was going to say, one cool thing is it would give me and Brian the ability to flip you off at any point.
Not now, though. Because now I can see you.
We can express ourselves in various ways.
Hand gestures.
What I love, whenever there's something involving Adrian Peterson in the news, he's got his own Sean Spicer. His old man Nelson weighs in.
Oh, God.
Have you been watching this guy, the tweets this guy's been putting out?
I haven't seen the new ones.
Well, the one that really struck was he took a shot at the Vikings' offensive line.
What was he talking about?
He's talking about the Raiders, where they actually put money into an offensive line and they don't scrape the bottom of the barrel. Part of the reason you have to scrape the bottom of the barrel is because you were paying your son over $12 or $13 million a year this past year.
It wasn't like they didn't spend on the offensive line.
No,
they spent money on broke.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing to keep in mind, too, isn't Nelson the one who taught Adrian his parenting skills?
I believe a switch or two.
Yeah. So his decision-making
changed there.
But, I mean, and here's the other thing we find out. Were the Raiders on AP's original list of desired teams? I know the Seahawks weren't, but he had this list of teams. The Giants were on there.
Texans
were on there.
And Bucks.
Tampa Bay. He's at this point like a girl who's like, I'm only going to prom with Billy. And then it's like, oh, Billy has a girlfriend? I'm only going to prom with Jason or Jim. And at some point she's like, just going to take yourself to prom.
Yeah, and now she's offering to do whoever she's going to prom
exactly.
with.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, his list now has changed to whoever will talk to him.
The most pathetic one was him flirting with the Patriots. you know, when
except ESPN made it a big deal. Like, I was like, what the hell, ESPN?
Well, they make everything a big deal with the Patriots.
Jeez.
But, of course, half the guys at ESPN are going to be laid off in the next week. So it's pathetic. He's, you know, I'm willing to do it for less. You know, will he do it for $350 an hour for the Patriots? My guess is he would if it would get him to a Super Bowl.
That's another thing that Nelson Peterson, his father, was bitching about. The Vikings haven't made an offer. Well, Jim Rich, I talked to him last week, and he made the great point. They don't want to make an offer because AP will suddenly be insulted. They want the market to set what the number is, and the market isn't going to set it higher than – I think if he got offered more than $2 million without – with incentives, he can get more. But if it's more than $2 million, he should jump at it.
Now, the biggest problem with Peterson is that as he gets older and his skills diminish, the fumbling becomes a bigger piece of the pie.
Well, and him not being able to catch,
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
He's got a lot of fish.
His ball handling skills, whichever team ends up signing him, will lose at least one game this year because of Peterson's
Belichick, he puts guys on the bench for weeks if they fumble.
Well, and the problem with him staying with the Vikings is for how many since he arrived here, the offense has been built around him. We have this antiquated run first offense because of Adrian Peterson. I don't care what price he's going to take to stay here, unless he's willing to become a role player and let McKinnon and some of these guys get acclimated and make this and get this into a modern NFL offense where you pass the ball first, which he can't do because he can't pass block.
And he can't catch.
I think he's going to have to go someplace else and be a role player someplace else.
I don't know that he's going to have – I mean, he may have one or two options, but he can't catch the ball. And if you take a look at, well, both Oakland and Seattle, these are pass-first offenses.
Yeah.
So he's not going to fit – he really doesn't fit in there. Bevel they're talking about, but Bevel would be getting a running back who's a shell of what he once was. I don't – he may wind up being forced to retire or take a ridiculous deal.
It's going to be the Jets. That's my money.
It feels like the Jets and the Niners, just some bottom dweller.
Or does he sit out and wait for the team that has an injury that he needs to come in and
it's not a bad idea.
But he does have some child support payments to make, so that might be not an option. He may need to get immediate income.
He also, the way he spends, like, remember he had that huge camel party or whatever? Like, this guy probably has less money than he thinks.
Yeah, but the camel, I'm pretty sure, was a rental.
You don't think it's like in his garage?
Either that or he put it on eBay, like, right away.
But he didn't get the day rate. He did the hourly rate because it saved him a few bucks. The thing I never understood, and now, Jeff, you may know more about this. He had that condo in Houston that went into foreclosure. All he owed, and I say all he owed because he makes $12, $13 million a year, was about $700,000 in back taxes and what and kept bringing it up to date. Why he just let that thing go? I mean, it doesn't make sense. The furniture in that was worth more than what he owed.
He needs better people around him.
Exactly. That's a big problem is when you get all, these guys get all this money and then just don't have anybody competent around them to advise them as to what to do with it. I mean, there's managers out there that will just basically, pay bills for athletes, and he just probably doesn't have the right advisors around him to help him do that, and then he ends up with an embarrassing story in the press.
Are you volunteering?
No.
No? I would trust you with my money.
I wonder if Nelson makes
those decisions.
And his number is. Well, I just don't, again, I don't think many teams are going to go after him. Now, if you're the Patriots, I don't know that you really need them because they'll plug anybody in and they're going to be successful. They're receivers, and if they get Brandon Marshall, and there's also talk of them going after DeSean Jackson, the numbers that Brandon Marshall or Jackson would put up would be similar to what Randy Moss put up when he went there.
The key to the Patriots' success through the years, and it kind of saying it's the antithesis of the Vikings, like in the 90s. You cannot, in the salary cap era, pay that much to your running backs or your wide receivers. Mm. And they've been interchangeable in New England through the years. They paid the money on the other important positions on the line, on the defense, and just had it interchangeable in Antoine Smith, Kevin Falk, through the years at the running back positions.
Well,
that's their key to success.
They do it at receiver, too, other than Moss.
Yeah, I mean, but the question is Adrian Peterson going to stoop low enough to get in the price range where Bill Belichick might
I think it's a playing time thing, too. Like, Belichick's not going to care what he thinks. It's like, we'll play when he wants to.
That's one of Adrian's biggest issues is, you know, number one, he is one-dimensional. He is, you know, he just plows ahead and gains yards. But I've never heard him talk about, you know, in this whole discussion of where he's wanting to go someplace where he's going to win a Super Bowl. For him, he in his mind, he's still chasing Emmitt Smith's career rushing record, which is absolutely delusional.
Why not go to the Jets then? You know they're going to give him the ball. Like, right. What else are the Jets going to do?
Yeah, well, because that's the other thing is he needs the ball a lot to succeed. He's not a guy who does really well with 10 carries in a game usually. You know, he's just got to bang at it until he hits that big one.
Yeah.
And then he fumbles the ball. Although, wouldn't it be sweet if the Seahawks lost a game because Peterson fumbled and a game because Blair Walsh missed a field goal?
Oh, God. That'd be amazing.
Oh, and that's a stat. I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't realize he's only won one playoff game. Is that right? He had to win. He had to be on teams.
Peterson.
It was one season because he was on the team with Favre.
No, but they beat Dallas here, and then they went down to New Orleans.
So that was the only win.
And he fumbled the ball three times in the game.
Well, it would have been two had he not fumbled against Seattle.
Uh huh.
Because he's the one that put Walsh in that position to miss.
And how many times did he fumble in New Orleans in the championship game?
He said three, right?
Yeah.
Was it two or three?
Well, I think
big one.
Three. He might have recovered one of them himself.
Sure,
that's what I'm thinking of.
But that big one at the end, the fourth quarter.
But yeah, the
early
game was
one.
Upset,
remember, there was one right there, right at the goal line, and he fumbled that when they were, you know, he muffed the handoff from Favre, and that would have been an easy touchdown.
Now, you know Chuck Foreman,
yep,
quite well.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you shook Chuck's hand and he gave you the vice grip? Never. Mm-hmm. Chuck doesn't want to hurt anyone or offend anyone, so he just puts his hand out there and you shake it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, it's not a dead fish hand, but it's, you know, it's not like he's trying to show off.
In your case, though.
But my point is he never fumbled the ball. Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson wants to show off and give you the vice grip. Well, why don't you put that on the frickin' football?
Yeah. And the problem is once you have a reputation for being a fumbler, the 50 honey badger wannabes in the NFL.
Oh, they're trying to knock it out.
It's almost... part of defensive play now is that the second guy always is going for the football.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not, well, mesh well with Peterson's remaining skill set.
He doesn't run like Walter Payton would run. People would say it was like a loaf of bread, but he always had the loaf of bread at the sideline. So if you hit him, it was going out of bounds.
Yeah.
It's astounding that the two things he really can't do. He can't hold the ball and not fumble in key situations. And he can't catch the thing. He did have 50-something catches when Favre was here, but it was all screens.
He's not a pass blocker. You telegraph what you're going to do when Adrian comes off the field. You're telegraphing to the defense. You're probably going to pass the ball because Adrian is not in. And why would you have Adrian off the field? Well, Adrian, we're going to pass, and Adrian can't. You know,
because you want your quarterback to live.
There have been times where he misses a block, and this was a couple years ago. I think it was against Detroit, and Teddy Bridgewater is running for his life, dumps the ball off to Adrian, who somehow catches it and gets a nice, you know, nice catch and run and gets a lot of praise for it. And then everybody's like, does anybody want to acknowledge the fact that Adrian missed his block and that's what set this broken play up in the first place?
Right. And if you're going to build a team around a guy, you can't just be pretty good. I mean, they could build that offense around him when he was so great.
And he's a phenomenal talent in terms of a bullish, you know, power running back. The problem is that era is no longer, you know, that's an era gone by in the NFL. That's the Jim Brown era. You know, that's more Adrian. This era is more like a Chuck Foreman, where you have to be able to catch the ball and run with it.
But I also think his running skills, I think he's probably washed up.
Oh, absolutely.
His knees probably.
You can't have those knee injuries and, you know, and continue this.
Imagine if, and not even changing anything, Chuck, when he came into the league, just take that Chuck Foreman and put him into today's game, he'd be a superstar.
Yeah. The thing with Chuck is a smart guy. You know, what he would do with when he would be on the field catching, you know, bobbing, weaving, whether it be running, whether it be catching, Chuck knew a whole bunch of different angles. I think Adrian is just give me the ball and I run, you know, and I run forward. I don't think he's as multidimensional. I always say, I argue with people about this, about who's the greatest Vikings running back. I put him third. I say it's Chuck, then Robert Smith, and then Adrian, because of that one-dimensional style. I mean, yeah, great. He racked up a lot of yards.
Well, I question one-dimensional. Peterson could whip you with both hands.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
So you're saying he has a Gumpian running philosophy?
I could understand the Chuck argument, but I would if you were saying who do you want, I would take Adrian over Robert Smith. I know he can catch the ball. Chuck, though, could give you so much more. In this day and age, again, he would be dominant.
As Chuck points out, when Fran Tarkenton came back in 1972, they went 7-7. They didn't get back to the Super Bowl again until Chuck arrived the next year.
He makes a good point.
Yeah.
Well, we both are big fans of Chuck.
He was ahead of his time. But that now is, I mean, he was ahead of his time, but now that is the model. I mean, if you're running back in this passing era, you have to be able to catch the ball and run with it.
Now, Tom, I don't know if you guys done, has Cold Omaha done much on the draft? Arif, I know, does a lot. But there are, what, four or five running backs who could get first round grades and will never go in the first round.
Yeah, you can get a good guy in like the second or third round this year.
And that's what they'll probably do. Because I would, if you're the Vikings, and start tomorrow is when you could actually sign, the names are coming out, but you go after your offensive line. You don't want a rookie lineman again to learn and hope it works out. You want to get veterans that are going to help you and also be injury-proof.
I think you're going to have to be aggressive in free agency on the offensive line, and then probably still going to have to burn all your draft picks on offensive linemen. They are just so thin there.
But you got to get a running back. You got to get your next running back.
Is Jabril Peppers, I should know this, running back? That's who
he's a safety.
Okay.
Actually, Peppers is the one who he wants to be a safety, but in the combine they had him lumped in with the linebackers, which did not make.
Yeah,
did
he's
not
actually
please,
listed as a linebacker. Yeah.
As he's sprinting in the 40, he's yelling, "I'm a safety! I'm a safety!"
Yeah. So we have a round two.
All right. Let's let's take a let's take a quick break, and when we get back, what I want to talk about, Chad Greenway retired, and I want to go through the. I'll give you my list. I mean, if you guys. Well, have any of you been – Tom, you've been in the Vikings locker room, right?
Yep, I have. Yeah.
Well, I've been in it since 1984. I'll tell you he's one of the best guys to have dealt with, but I'll tell you the best and the worst for me anyway when I get – and by the way, my number one is universal with players, absolutely with players. I mean, I've had players say – and the word everyone uses for this player is – asshole or biggest asshole they ever played with. So when we get back, we'll talk about –
Can we say that on the air? That word?
Yeah.
Asshole?
I think I do most weeks. I feel like I curse a lot.
I was going to say Galfan says some weird stuff.
I'm tempted to say fuck yeah, but I better not.
Because the CAA is listening to you.
We are going to get to that. As a matter of fact, I hope they are, because that means more listeners, more downloads.
I'm a two-time owner of a Samsung smart TV. Mm-hmm. So
me too.
If that's what they were using?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about that too.
Watch you as you're jerking off to Skinamax.
Yeah,
they can watch you, watch
Samsung. You need an attorney. You need Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need.
If you're looking to help an aching back or looking for comfort, or maybe both, you need to visit the Relax the Back store in Burnsville. They have something for everybody. 8 models of massage chairs, 0 gravity recliners with a manufacturer's promotion that will save you a lot of money, Tempur-Pedic beds for a more restful and relaxing sleep. The Relax the Back store offers 0% financing for 48 months on approved credit. You will find them in the Burnsville Marketplace or online at relaxtheback.com. Or just give them a call at 952-641-6111. That's 952-641-6111. The Relax the Back store. Check it out.
Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
It's also going to hurt Peterson's ego factors. Coaches are hesitant.
Hey, where's the music?
It takes a little while to go.
Well, the hell with it then. Oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
All right.
It takes a little while.
Let's get the lads up. All right. We are back. And now, okay, I'm going to let you guys. We were talking football. We could jump back. I'll give you my list, and then I do want to talk about Kevin being the CIA coming after him. Woo woo Bon Jovi. All right, Greenway is one of the nicest guys slash players they've had over the years. The other guys that I might personally would put, the ones that come to mind, you know, immediately, Matt Burke, Randall McDaniel, Gary Zimmerman. They can be a little testy, but they were great guys. Brad Johnson was as good a guy as you can get. Actually, the guys from those 80s teams were really great guys to deal with. Same thing, you know, like Tim Irwin, who's now a judge. I liked all of those guys. Jared Allen and Keith Millard were guys, too, that were good. And I got along with Dolman, but he was – even his teammates thought he was odd. He would come to work every day with a briefcase. And I asked one of his teammates, what does he keep in that thing? And he said, lunch.
Hey, we had an old timer on the sports desk at Pioneer Press for years who came in with a briefcase every day. And the only thing we ever saw him pull out of it was a bottle of barbecue sauce.
What?
It's going to ruin the briefcase.
Barbecue sauce.
Now, the list, it's a short list of guys who just were a pain in the ass to deal with. The player that several, well, I have not yet found a player other than maybe Jake Reed. Jake Reed is the only one who showed up when they did a, you know, they honored Chris Carter after his Hall of Fame induction. The word that either two words come up, either asshole or biggest asshole I ever played with, because he was just, it was all about Chris Carter and not about anyone else.
And I think that's one of the reasons why his stint at ESPN was so short-lived,
because they got to see the real Chris Carter.
Yeah, at a certain point, no, we'll bring in some other former jock.
Actually, everyone else, there is, like, no one else leaps out, although everyone here has heard, if you heard Robert Smith on the radio, he is as smug now as he was as a player, but he wasn't a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He was liked by teammates. It's just that he always felt he was smarter than everyone else and never passed an opportunity to let you know.
It's so like that.
He was the smartest person in the room for most of those years.
Well, but he, like I said, he always wanted to make sure you knew, but I'm still waiting for him to go through and get out of medical school, which is part of his plan. Yeah. I think he's put those on hold, but then again, we've all bragged about what schools we were going to go to.
He wants to wait until doing medicine is less icky. He doesn't want to deal with bodily fluids. So.
Well, I can understand that. So now, Kevin, what does the CIA have on you? Because
nothing I can say on the air.
But they tapped iPhones, Androids, everything, right? They could if they wanted to.
Of the phone variety. But what I particularly noticed was Samsung smart TVs. They can, like, watch you.
What's great, now somebody can warn you when your Samsung phone catches on fire.
It's about to go.
You, Brian, have got to get some good material out of this.
Oh, yeah, I wrote some jokes about this last night, actually. Yeah.
Oh, you already started writing about it? Or were you on stage last night?
No, I've been starting writing about it last night. I do 50 news jokes a week, and that took up a bunch of them.
Now, are you allowed to share one, or is it proprietary?
I literally just don't have them with me. They're just in a file. Yeah, I'm on a thing where I try to write monologue jokes every week, so. Stay in shape. Comedically going to the gym.
That's what, like, going to the sit-ups. Gym is.
Yeah.
Basically. Oh, by the way, Brian Miller, BrianMillerComedy.com, at RealBrianMiller on Twitter. Kevin Cusick, PioneerPressTwinCities.com, at The Loop now. What's The Loop? What's the latest loop?
We did the top 10 coaching performances in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And it was not a big surprise. It was led by this most recent
Bud make the list?
No. These were performances of specific games.
Okay.
And Belichick getting his team, keeping his team awake when they were down 25 and then not panicking and coming back.
All right, then let me ask this. In the top 10, did his win over Seattle make the list?
No.
It didn't.
The win over Seattle, though, makes the list next week of the worst coaching performances.
I was going to ask if you're going to do a worst.
That might be number one.
You know what?
Atlanta has to be there, right?
This would explain why the Seahawks will sign Adrian Peterson, because that would be a bad coaching decision. So Pete will want him.
Oh, it's that is still 100 years from now, they'll be talking about that call in Super Bowl 40.
Yeah. Mm. And Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney extraordinaire. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I like that one.
And now you're doing your blog to let people know how they can find that.
JeffreyO'Brien.today.
And do you have one today?
I haven't blogged in a while, but when I write articles and stuff or do other things, everything is on that site. So if you go there, it's kind of a one.
But isn't it confusing though? Because most of the stuff on your today thing you wrote yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. It's false advertising.
It should be yesterday and sometimes today. Now, do you? Because I know you also do a podcast, but you also are on AM 1130.
Occasionally, yes.
Okay, you need to tell their producer, that's slacker, when you go on, to send you a clip so you can put that clip on your website.
Well, I've got them. I've been bogged down with everything else. I mean, I do occasionally do work for clients.
Really?
You don't just podcast?
No. So no, I've got all those archived, and I've got all the shows from here archived. I just haven't.
But you've only got 60 craft breweries and distilleries. I mean, how do you know? Are there times when if somebody throws one out, you have to take a second to think, do I have that one?
No, I know who I have. It's funny because my assistant will keep every time I get a new brewery client or distillery client or winery, and I get this updated list of all my breweries and distilleries and wineries. I said, it's funny you don't do this with all my real estate investor clients or all my tech clients. It's just for whatever reason everybody likes this little niche of the beverage stuff. So I get lists as to who I represent. But
that's because you can't drink real estate.
You can drink over it though. Yeah. And Tom Schreier, coldomaha.com, and the other, but it's not just that. You can also use the other.
Yeah, zone coverage. They bring in the same place.
You're very anti-zone coverage, aren't you? You're a cold Omaha.
I'm a cold Omaha purist. I came up with the name, I guess. But no, I like
that was
zone
your
coverage.
Name? You're the one to blame? No, I mean, you're the one to laud about that?
What is cold
Sid
Omaha
came
mean,
up
by the
with
way?
Sid.
It's when they were building the Metrodome or like proposing it in legislature, I think it was Hubert Humphrey said, without professional sports, Minnesota would be cold Omaha.
I thought Sid said that first.
Sid may have taken credit for saying it first.
I don't know. I think it's kind of...
Because Hubert Humphrey was already dead.
He was dead already when that happened.
He died in 77.
But he made that comment.
But I think it was 76. No,
it actually had nothing to do with the Metrodome. What it had to do was with professional sports in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I think he said if you didn't have the Twins or Vikings, it would be like a cold Omaha.
Yeah, it's something like that.
It was, it was that reference.
Boy, I can't imagine what other things I give credit to Sid for that he has nothing to do with.
See, Sid would have said it's like a bunch of cold assholes from Omaha.
Oh, God.
By the way, in terms of giving credit, I want to do a shout-out to our reporting staff, who was the only ones in the country last night, uncovered the fact that of the six idiots who got arrested at the Capitol over the weekend for throwing smoke bombs or whatever at the Trump rally, one of them happened to be the son of the vice presidential nominee.
Tim Kaine's kid.
In Minnesota?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. He has a Minnesota connection.
Does he live here?
Yes, I think so.
Well, Timmy Jr.
What was funny was the screaming headlines like on Fox News. Tim Kaine's son arrested in, protest. And then when you went to the left sites, New York Daily News' headline was, Tim Kaine's seldom seen son.
Well, you know what?
Involved in scuffle or whatever.
Not
mentioning arrest.
No parent.
But our reporters, our dogged staff, had that alone today. And it's any time that we have something screaming on our front page that you cannot find in the Star Tribune, I call that.
But as parents, we all want to think we do a great job with our kids. But we can't be held accountable for the stupid things they do. I refuse to be held accountable for Sam's stupid things.
But can you imagine the headlines if it was someone last name of Trump?
Oh, yeah.
Stuff and be a little different coverage, I think.
Yeah, I don't think
we would have had the tweet storm at 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, they'd be dropping their smoke bombs out of a helicopter. That'd be the different thing. Yeah.
Now, okay, I want to coldomaha.com, they have a new skin. I don't know if you heard or not.
New skin, maybe.
But now you said you're writing, about the CIA. Do you Do you open your mind to the possibility that all this talk about Trump and Russia hacking was actually the CIA hacking as if it was Russia? Because that's part of what they're doing.
No.
They're subverting things and making you think it's from other countries.
No. You know what the name of that program, that thing was, the covering up? Umbridge.
Well, they had a bunch of silly names for these things.
Umbridge, right? Umbridge was the one where they made it look like it was Chinese or Russian
coming from another country.
From another country, it was actually our own people in Langley.
So, are we? Who's debunking WikiLeaks? Because they were debunking the hell out of it in other instances. Is either side debunking it now?
I don't think has the CIA made a statement.
No, and it got a vote of confidence from Snowden. Snowden gave a statement saying, "Yeah, this sounds legit."
This guy. Well, I thought there was talk he was coming back. They were going to let him back in.
I don't think that's been happening.
And there was also talk about Assange.
Oh, the Snowden
that he was going to like get out of the Ecuadorian.
Well, he may have to because did they have their election? The new Ecuadorian president was probably was there was
you know,
talk
Bob,
was going to dump
him. Following that closely, mostly because it's hard to write jokes about Ecuador.
No rhymes. What would you rhyme with Ecuador? Well, something with an or at the end of it.
Something on the floor. Yeah. So I could do a Rick Pitino joke.
Humidor.
Speaking of Pitino, we're talking about it. Well, it's not a joke. It seems like if someone would say when the season began it last year, yeah, he'll be the coach of the year next year in the Big Ten. He was coach of the year in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll get another job? A lot
it's
of people
amazing. Hoping. Northwestern's going to go. My Cats are going to go to the tournament for the first time ever. And he didn't get coach of the year
because
the turnaround of the Gophers was so...
I hope he gets a job somewhere else, and then they bring in a real coach.
I think my guess is somewhat. I mean, I don't know what would free up though. It's not like Tom Izzo's leaving Michigan State.
No, but what my feeling is though he's still it's on the job training. He has terrific talent, but I still don't think he knows how to coach it.
That's what Gelfand wrote basically in our.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I agree with him. He's got.
It was such a fun. I was editing it. And I was like. What is going through?
See, that's what I'm worried about with Northwestern with Chris Collins. All I can do is just pray every night my rosary beads out for the health of Mike Krzyzewski. Because the moment Krzyzewski retires, Collins is.
I was just happy
long
to see that St. Thomas snagged the last at large bid for the D3.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
John Tower did a really good job with those. That's a young team.
How many kids did he lose? He lost a lot of starters. Seniors,
he had
right?
some guys that had been on the bench that hadn't played a whole lot, and he had some young guys. But they started out kind of slow, and then they caught fire, and then they had they actually won the regular season, co-champs of the regular season conference title
with Bethel.
And then they lost to St. John's in the conference playoffs, and so they didn't. Bethel then beat St. John's and got the automatic bid, but they did get the last at large. So at least they get a chance in theory to defend.
So who are they playing? Like the nation's number one team,
Whitewater, right?
I think so.
Oh, and by the way, they're only the second best basketball team at St. Thomas. Do you know what the women's team?
Oh, on fire. Women's team's on fire.
29-0.
Yeah, jeez.
And they're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I talked to Ruth Sin, the coach there, for a story that will appear in the Pioneer Press in the next day.
This has been a good year for St. Thomas winter sports. You have both the men's and women's basketball and men's and women's hockey.
The hockey team is terrific.
The men's and women's hockey both took the conference playoff title. So
look at this. He's gloating over there, the Tommy alumni.
By the way, we almost had history last night. I was actually watching this. We almost had the worst team in history make the NCAA tournament. Milwaukee used to be known as Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I think they won one conference game this year. Were the bottom seed in the Horizon League tournament.
They made it to the championship game?
They made it to the championship game, and they lost by like 3 points to...
How many wins do they have? I love those teams that are under 500 and make it.
I think their record going into the game last night was 11-23.
Oh, that would have been terrific.
No one has made the tournament with more than 20 losses, and they came this close to getting in with 23.
Wow.
Now, of course, they would have been in a play-in game.
Let me ask all of you this. Do you think the Big Ten should let every team in their postseason tournament? Shouldn't they just make the top eight?
I say it's the Big Ten. Why not make it 10?
I don't even know how many are in. Is it 14 or 13?
The Ivy League is the only one. They finally started a tournament this year, but they only invited the top four.
I think in this era of participation trophies, I think everybody should get a chance.
Well, how many are in the Big Ten now? 13 14, or 14?
14. And Gelfand's saying
13 plus Rutgers.
Okay.
You have to win five straight games if you don't get the byes.
Never happened.
I mean, that's absurd. You have to play basketball every day for 5 days.
Well, we talked to Mike Monday about that. There's one team that has made or won.
Sixth seed. It was Iowa in 2001.
And that's it. Everyone else was a top four seed, and most of them were top three seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a mess.
The big question is, what the hell is the Big Ten tournament doing in Washington, frickin' D.C.?
It's Rutgers, right? Is the
no, Maryland.
Or Maryland, sorry, yeah.
But it's like, come on.
I mean, the one thing I've heard from my friend worked there for 2 years, and he was like, there is a lot of Midwesterners there, so you actually probably would get, like, even, you know, in the stands, you'd have an even amount of people from each school, but...
Yeah, actually, the real dumb thing is the ACC tournament this year is in my old stomping grounds of Brooklyn. From Tobacco Road to Flatbush Avenue. It's kind of hard to believe. But they had, like, one of the games yesterday, early games, like Wake Forest against Boston College.
Yeah.
And there couldn't have been more than 1,000 people in the arena.
Because they all know it's meaningless. Hey, you know what? Let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you. See, not only is he a funny man, he also reviews movies. You've seen, of course, the latest Wolverine,
yep.
Logan?
Yep.
I really liked it, but a couple of things bothered me about it, and they're not like spoilers. So I want to get your thought about that when we take this quick break and come right back.
The open enrollment period is here. This is your chance to make the change or let your faith. Solidarity Healthcare, a healthshare nonprofit, is taking the nation by storm and bringing faith back to healthcare. A program that honors your Catholic beliefs. If you're ready to take control, call Solidarity Healthcare at 844-313-4999 or visit their website at solidarityhealthcare.org and learn about healthcare for the common good. Solidarityhealthcare.org. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brandt Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brandt Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they're also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bathroom models to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brandt Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847 or visit their website at thomasbrandthomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. Hey, do you love pizza? If you do, that means you love Chanticleer pizza. Chanticleer has been in business for more than 50 years, and you don't last that long in any business unless you're giving people what they want. Chanticleer delivers every time. Chanticleer features thin crust, New York hand-tossed, and a pan pizza. 11 Twin Cities locations with delivery and carryout. In Coon Rapids and Maple Grove, you will find the Chanticleer Pizza Grill, full bar restaurant, full menu, burgers, salads, pastas, pizza, of course, and much more. Chanticleer Pizza restaurants are independently owned and operated. For more information, go to ChanticleerPizza.com. That's ChanticleerPizza.com. Chanticleer Pizza, the clear choice for all pizza lovers.
I'm sitting on top. A little Jolson for you. If I'm going to be the producer, I'm playing Jolson. Listen to him. Oh, he was good. The blues. Oh, he was good. Are you a Jolson fan? You're kind of eclectic.
Not an Al Jolson fan, but I'm not like, I don't, you know.
He's not that eclectic.
Yeah.
But you're not one of these people who, because when you go on like, not that there's still, by the way, I covered it when I worked at the AP. The Al Jolson Society still has annual meetings.
Really?
Yeah.
So they all come in blackface?
Yes.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask. If I mean, people don't understand. They consider that he was a racist. It was the times. I mean, there were minstrels.
I'm not saying it was a great thing for him to do, but I don't know that I'm going to write everything he did off because of that. You know, it's not like if Taylor Swift comes out in blackface tomorrow.
That would be a little different.
Maybe a little different. But, yeah, I'm going to give Al a little bit more of a swing.
Yeah. And he wasn't the only one. I mean, that was the time.
No, it was a thing. There's that great scene in Mad Men. I'm a big fan of that show. And Roger Sterling throws the party, and he comes out and sings My Old Kentucky Home in blackface.
Oh, I never saw that one.
It is intense. And everybody at the party, it's in the 60s. They're all looking at each other like, what in the hell is this guy doing?
Well, Ted Danson did it when he was dating Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes,
probably figured to get a free pass because he was dating Whoopi.
Yes, boy, did that not work out for him.
No, it didn't go well at all.
That was almost as bad for him as dating
Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah.
You know, I will say this about her. She really had some interesting guys that she dated. Because the other guy was, he plays in a lot of horror movies. What the hell was his name?
Frank Langella.
Thank you.
She dated Frank Langella?
Yeah.
Really?
Has she ever been married? Or does she just date different guys? Again, that's, you want to talk about eclectic.
It's funny you think of Frank Langella now because he's like really old and bald and...
Yeah, but that was.
But he's great, which reminds me, The Americans started again last night.
Is it good?
Been watching The Americans, great series.
Now, tonight, actually, I'm going to watch the one Designated Survivor, which
it's
is back.
Yep,
tonight. Yeah. I think it's back tonight. I got into that show.
Sam got me into that show.
You know what, my two, well, of the new shows, but also, I used to be a huge NCIS fan. They're losing me. Ever since they lost the DiNozzo character, they've tried to put too many in, and I really like Bull. Have you watched that?
I haven't seen that.
That's a hell of a series, too.
Yeah. I've actually never seen an NCIS, a CIS.
Really?
I've seen
any acronym one.
Yeah, I've seen Law and Order. I've seen Law and Order.
You don't like those the cop /
I don't like
investigative
those.
Pieces.
The FBI in color.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't know those ones where they're. I see the appeal of them is that every week they're kind of disposable, but I just feel like they're so disposable that why bother?
Well, the hour shows Scorpion on Monday nights.
Yep.
NCIS, I still watch it, but not. I like Bull even better. And then I skip a few. Designated Survivor will be tonight, though.
I like that one.
And Friday, Blue Bloods is, to me, one of the best shows on television.
My dad really likes Blue Bloods a lot. I like This Is Us, which is kind of a lame thing to admit, but I do like This Is Us.
Who's really that?
Good. That's the one about the family.
It's about us.
It's about us. That's the one about the family. It's partly about this family that adopts a kid and has twins at the same time. And it's
who stars in it?
Milo Ventimiglia and Mandy Moore are the.
I know Milo is.
But Sterling Brown, the guy who played in the modern, so they follow the kids when they're little and then when they're adults. And Sterling Brown, who played played Chris Darden in the fictional OJ thing, is one of the main stars of it. Mm-hmm. He's great.
What? Who played Chris Darden in the documentary? OJ.
Well, wait, you tweeted something, I think, and you've had tweets. Where did this stuff come up about OJ getting out?
He's up for parole.
He's up for parole.
That's all it is, though, right? It's not like they're going to give him a parole.
Yeah, but if they follow any... unless they grossly not follow the standards of the state of Nevada, he'll get out for good behavior.
Really?
Yeah,
it's
because,
a point system,
because
I believe.
He was. I mean, the bottom line is what he's in for is the armed robbery.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in. I mean,
he's not in for the murder.
No, and I discussed this, I think, on my own podcast a while ago, whether or not you're going to... I think if Fred Goldman shows up to testify, that's absolutely irrelevant because he was acquitted of the murder charges.
I mean, it is the term activist judge here. I mean, the judge was definitely trying to make a point by giving him, throwing the book at him for kidnapping and armed robbery, you know, when he took
it. It was over memorabilia.
Yeah, over memorabilia.
But I didn't have a problem with it, but it was over memorabilia.
That's what I told Kevin. Maybe he can break out now and steal Cuba Gooding Jr.'s Oscar.
Didn't they cover this? That was like 33 years because it's $33 million and stuff. I feel like they covered that at the end of the documentary. That a lot of the numbers were symbolic.
I think that's just coincidental. I don't think it had anything to
it. It was someone's theory at the end of the documentary.
But they threw the book at him, for sure. So, I would assume the parole will go through.
I have no problem if he stays in, but I guess I'm intrigued on OJ on the loose. I mean, what? He'll try to get a reality show. You know what? The Apprentice needs someone.
That was some of the most galling parts of the documentary was in the last part where they showed you just some of the crap that OJ had been doing in the years leading up to the armed robbery.
Oh, in Miami
doing
and stuff?
The reality, trying to do the reality pilot, You Got Juiced.
The rap video?
That's what I was thinking about.
Well, to me, the scariest and oddest and weirdest one was when he dated the gal from Minnesota who looked just like Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Christine Prody.
Whatever happened to old Christine? She got changed her name, get married? Is she still a local gal?
She has disappeared from the scene. Who knows where she is? I don't even know if she's in the state anymore.
Well, she hit it big with OJ. Maybe she moved to Nevada to visit him.
Yeah. You see, it's funny.
You know who else? Go to Marcus Allen.
Oh, God.
In terms of like news headlines from the OJ documentary, the two big ones that I thought of things I'd never heard. Well, I'd heard the rumors about Marcus Allen, but it was basically confirmed by people that she had started seeing Marcus Allen, and that's what drove OJ over the edge. And the second was that OJ's father was open homosexual, which drove him nuts too. Never heard that before.
I also thought the dynamic where they went in his house and they realized that like he didn't have a lot of pictures of his family. It was a lot of just memorabilia. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, and again, I'm younger. I probably don't remember a lot of the details of it, but I don't remember ever hearing that they appealed to his ego rather than to his family to get him out of the car, which I thought was a very – I thought they did that really well, like that explaining it and – yeah.
I remember that whole – you know, some days in your career – you just remember, like, vividly, and as we're watching in the newsroom the Bronco chase, it was...
Well, he did have his home decorated with, like, personal, you know, his awards and everything. During the trial...
During the trial, Johnny Cochran was decorated with African-American art.
The Norman Rockwell painting they took out of Johnny Cochran's office.
And an African flag or whatever.
I've never seen the SNL. The SNL was really well done.
Oh, my God. He writes, I did it on the prom.
He really killed him. I came out of the last segment saying I wanted to talk to you about Logan. You liked it, loved it.
Yeah,
where were you?
I liked it quite a bit. I thought it was really good.
Two things that, and it's not going to ruin it for anyone. Mm-hmm. There was a scientist. Mm-hmm. I thought his role should have been bigger because he really was an antagonist and a bad guy. But he kind of was shuffled in at the end when he got a bigger part. I thought he should have been a bigger part throughout the thing. And the other thing, and this doesn't ruin it for anyone, there are a number of kids who have these, you know, the mutant powers. Mm-hmm. Why would those kids ever run from anyone?
Yeah, they should have just used their mutant powers.
Yeah, they had them. I mean, they were some powerful kids.
Yeah, I thought they also got a little over-enthusiastic with their R rating and killed off a few people that narratively was kind of like, man, that's kind of a drag. I don't want to give anything away, but there's a few innocent victims in that movie that felt like they were just like, we can kill whoever we want.
Well, somebody said, you saw John Wick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, and I don't believe this, there were bigger body count in Logan than John Wick. I don't think that's possible.
I don't know. John Wick was literally killing somebody like every second of the movie.
Well, after Game of Thrones, you have to maintain a high body count to hold the audience's attention.
Well, John Wick was the gut and headshot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. That movie is kill crazy.
Oh, that one. I'm a huge John Wick fan.
The second one, I was almost a little much. I liked it, but I was like, woof. Okay.
Well, they had to. Yeah. I mean, they had to top what they had before.
Right. I don't know what they're going to do for the third one.
Now, if any of you, Jeff or Kevin or Tom, have you seen the second John Wick or Logan?
No.
No.
Make it a twin bill.
Good action.
See a whole bunch of killing.
You know what I actually saw the other night for the first time ever? You know, the antenna TV that's on, like, digital packages? Uh-huh. I saw my first episode of My Mother, the Car.
Wow. You never saw it?
I had never seen it before.
Were you too young for it? Because I watched it when I was a little kid.
It was mid-60s. But it was the first time I saw Jerry Van Dyke. I didn't realize Jerry Van Dyke was the main protagonist.
Yeah.
Well, and was not an automobile protagonist.
Well, Ann Southern, I think, was the mom, right?
She was the...
Most people don't know who Ann Southern was, but do you? Have you ever heard of her?
I know the name, but what else? She's been in some old movies, right?
In the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was big in the 40s.
Yeah.
And that's long before all of us, but still. That was a fun show to watch. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of on those digital channels like MeTV and Antenna. Car 54, where are you? Great, great show with with pre-Munsters Fred Gwynn.
There's a hold up in the Bronx, something to tell. Great thing.
I can actually do it for you. So maybe go into break.
Well, then we're coming out. Also, not only just him, but also Grandpa Munster was in Car 54, Where Are You Also?
Oh,
he was the sergeant.
He was the sergeant.
Al Lewis. That's right.
Who was he was a huge high school basketball. I mean, before they had all these different what's the big ones? The big ratings? He was one of those guys who would go around and watch these kids play basketball and then do his own little rating thing for them.
Huh.
Grandpa
Munster. Did not know that.
But, he was in that as a sergeant. You know what, let's take a quick break. I want to mention, if you go to thebsshow.net, Ruth Lorden, because I wanted to expand a conversation with her about, because I think the CIA thing is, you know, I don't want to say it's hilarious and piss any of them off, but it's got a certain amount of karma to it, I think, a karmic element. And I talked to Ruth about, you know, why karma and how karma bites people in the ass, and she actually gave a great explanation of it. So thebsshow.net, that's already posted if you want to take a look at that. And, Kevin, do you want to take us in or back with the Car 54 theme? I might even be able to find it.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short a child. Khrushchev's due. An idle wild Car 54, where are you?
Nice.
All right, we'll be right back.
But there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney.
which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw and Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
Let's see if I did this right.
God dang it. I just hit the car 54 thing and it should be playing.
That's back to Jolson.
Where's the car 54? All right, I'll give you. Let me try a different one here. We'll try. I'm going to play a little Gomer Pyle till I find car 54. I hit car 54 and it should have come right up. God damn you, car 54. Where is it? Okay, it said it had car 54, these sons of whatevers. All right, wait a minute. I got to get you guys up. I didn't, there.
Are you on YouTube right now?
No, I'm on, I was in, all right, we'll get, hold on. See if you can identify this one.
Well, that's easy.
No? Nobody knows Three Stooges?
Oh, I didn't know this was a quiz show all of a sudden.
It is a quiz show, because I can't find car 54. All right, here, how about this one? Do you know this one?
Oh, Looney Tunes.
Oh, yeah, that was my show.
Well, Merry Melodies, actually.
Well, yeah. Worm. The real cartoons, as my dad and I used to call them.
You'll have to know this one.
George of the Jungle.
Very nice. Now, here's Looney Tunes.
George.
They're very close.
Well, yeah.
And this might be...
I thought Looney Tunes was done by Merry Melodies.
Was it?
I think so. It's all the same. It's all Warner Brothers.
I think it preceded.
This one was my all-time favorite growing up.
Odd Couple.
I love the Odd Couple.
Oh, yeah.
The one I used to watch as a kid was McGilla Gorilla.
If this was alphabetical, I could play that for you. Let me play this one, and then I'll look for McGilla for you.
Pink Panther?
No.
Oh, there's no best.
This is Gidget.
Oh.
I would have known about it. Now, let me see if you know this one.
There's a holdup in the Bronx, Brooklyn's out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem.
You can sing along with it if you want.
There's a scout troop.
It's a minute 11.
Car 54, where are you?
It's almost like hearing a...
It's like hearing you sing yourself, isn't it?
It's like hearing me in the shower.
I didn't know there was a musical interlude, too.
Here, we'll bring that down. Huh? Almost like a real producer.
Oh, I was going to say, what the production skills of this
show incredible.
Today are unbelievable.
Hey, and by the way, I want to mention again, we played it earlier, but the Relax the Back store next week, mention the BS show. If you go in, you get 20% off. We'll be broadcasting from there on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And also, the last two ads we played, we had Bradshaw and Brian and Smart Start MN. Two great sponsors been with us since the beginning. Now, I wanted to go around. We'll go around the horn here and see what you guys have. What are you writing about next? And were you there for the condensation game that never took place?
No, that was Zach. Zach did that, and he's actually covering tonight. I'm trying to think of what I'm going to cover.
Weather permitting.
Yeah, right.
But also, Madison Square Garden never had a game called because of condensation.
No. And they always have the ice down.
It's inexcusable.
Target Center, it's only rarely that they have the ice.
But they don't know what to do with it. It's the tournament,
I think, is why they have it.
But still.
They're at Disney.
So they don't take the – I didn't think they took the ice up at Madison Square Garden. They don't, right? Don't they put it right over it?
It depends on what the –
Well, how long
it is. Pretty much all during the winter, the ice is there.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for it. But anyway, what are you working on?
Yeah, I think I'll get to a practice soon and do something on the Wolves. I know.
Yeah, get off your ass.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was at the Wild Blues game. Of course, not in the press box, but with my brother.
He was so
laughing.
Bitter.
Such a ridiculous organization. But it was fun to watch, even though they lost. And Mike Yeo got his revenge on the
Wild. Well, good for him.
Of course, state hockey starts today.
Yeah, and so we have Giles Farrell and Heather Rule are both there covering that for us. And,
I think you can make the argument the best team in the state is going to win the Class A tournament this year. Hermantown is that good.
There's a lot of question if they should be.
Yes.
Well, isn't he the good?
Well, yeah, they beat my alma mater and my nephew's team, Virginia, in the semifinals in Section 7, 9-0, and they did not. That was just in the first two periods. The third period, they didn't take a shot.
Is Hermantown the team with the coach who always bitches that he has to play private schools?
Bruce Plant hated
St. Thomas. Yeah, back when he was playing, he'd make the finals every year and lose to St. Thomas Academy.
Yeah, that's right.
So St.
Thomas Academy moves
that
up, and magically Hermantown won last year.
Yeah.
For the first time. But they've been in the finals like 6 years.
Isn't Delano supposed to challenge them or something? They were telling me. Yeah, I don't know.
The Mighty Tigers?
But they could certainly play any of the AA schools and have a shot at winning.
Now, Jeff, what are you going to be opining on in your next blog or podcast?
I got to update the blog pretty soon here. I've been working on the book. I actually put pen to paper last weekend.
Hey! You did?
Mm-hmm. If you got a computer, it would go much faster.
No.
He put the pen to computer first.
I just finished. Actually, what's been delaying the book, actually. I just did an article for Mitchell Hamlin Law Review. It's going to be March 22nd over at Abel Seat House. I'm going to be part of a symposium, so if any lawyers listening want CLE credits, you get CLE credits for going there. But I'm doing an article on last week we talked about Sunday sales and this three-tier system, how we distribute liquor, where you have the people that make it, the wholesalers, and the retailers. And there's a movement around the country to the distribution laws are very pro-distributor.
Okay.
And they're designed to protect distributors from like Budweiser and the big breweries. But it sometimes works out to the disadvantage of small guys. So a lot of states are adopting an exemption for the small guys. Minnesota hasn't yet, so my article is about Minnesota adopting that exemption. So that's coming out, I think, April or May, but the panel is 2 weeks from today.
So 2 weeks from today. So you won't be here next week?
Right.
Oh, so that's how you're going to tell us.
Yeah.
I'll tell you after the show. But yeah.
Subtly.
Now you did the top 10. The Loop has the top 10 coaching.
Yeah, this week was the top 10 coaching performances, the best ones. Next week is the worst ones.
No losing coach made the top 10, I'm thinking. Or did it?
No.
He didn't throw you a gratuitous?
No, I think one or two losing coaches may have made the honorable mention.
All right. A little flatty.
The top ten worst ones. Mr. Carroll will be in there certainly. Mr. Shula.
Did Mr. Grant?
Mr. Shula makes both. He made both.
Really?
Lists, yes.
No, Mr. Grant.
Mr. Grant is on the bad list.
No.
But again, I think I picked for the worst coaching performance of his Super Bowl IV. Mm-hmm. Because they still couldn't figure out what plays the Chiefs were running. They ran the Frank Pitts reverse like three times, and every time, you know, Carl Eller gets like wiped out or
which
or
never
Jim Marshall.
Didn't happen much.
Yeah.
Now Brian Miller Comedy at Real Brian Miller on Twitter. You're not performing this weekend. You got something next weekend, or did you pick something up?
I'm going to be at the Royal Comedy Theater not this weekend, but next weekend, which is a nice little club in Hopkins. Let's go to a smaller club.
Oh, I think you mentioned that. Yeah, you've got this several of you that'll be there, right?
Yeah, it's like four or five comics. And then the thing to check out, I co-host the Cy Amundsen Show, which is a podcast.
Ooh, is that his description of your role?
It is, actually.
He is?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's still not putting my name in the title.
Or I'm mentioning you. No photo of you in there.
But we interviewed Marcus Sherrills on Monday, and man, what a great guy. Great interview, so I would say
Did you talk much about his brother?
We did talk some about his brother.
It's incredible
his family
how tough that guy is.
Yeah, he's just really impressive guy. Yeah. And so, yeah, we had a great
Marcus is impressive, too, because you're bigger than he is.
Oh, I know. I walked in, and I was like, that can't be Marcus Sherrills, right? Like, I'm taller than him. How's that possible?
God. Speed.
Oh, man, he's so fast. But, yeah, really smart guy, really interesting guy. So, great interview. Cy Amundsen Show. It's on iTunes and... You can find it on Facebook and Twitter and my Twitter page, too.
AMUNDSON.
Yes.
Or SEN. SON.
SON.
All right. And Marcus Sherrills is 2 inches taller than Peter Dinklage.
What'd you say? Ah, jeez.
Not that.
But Dinklage's time in the 40 is nowhere near
what Marcus is.
What, Marcus is like a
4.3? Dinklage is like about a 12.6.
Yeah. No, he's a hell of a return guy.
He's so good.
Thank you to all of you. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our listeners. Looking forward to talking to you again tomorrow. We will talk to you later. Let's see if I can get this right with a little music.
Smooth ending.
Huh? How's that? What'd you say? We're going to say a little goodbye right now.